Orioles have been incredibly active this offseason, but are there more moves to come? Maybe a big move to come. Let's bring on Andy Koska, covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner, and joins us now. And Andy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So there's been some smoke out there about a potential big move to come. Do you see a big move still to come?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me, first off. It's going to be competitive, right? There's, you know, a couple big names still on the market, pitching wise, thinking of Framber Valdez and Ranger Suarez. And I guess, you know, Zach Gallen would be in that mix as well. So competition for that, but I do see Baltimore acquiring at least one more starter. And when I say one more starter, I imagine a, you know, quote unquote, big name starter, you know, of the likes of Ranger Suarez. Definitely still could be a trade. Baltimore has plenty in its, you know, farm system at this point. I realize they just, you know, traded four guys for Shane Baz, but there's still plenty remaining. So I do think they have plenty of moves left, realistically, you know, not just with the rotation. They probably have another reliever in the mix, and who knows, maybe an outfielder. But they have checked some big boxes, you know, Pete Alonso, Ryan Helsley. There's still a big one to check, which would be kind of that ceiling raising starting pitcher, an ace quality guy who can fit in alongside Bradish and Rogers.
Well, Andy, if the Orioles were to trade any guys off their major league roster, a lot of fans have pointed to Coby Mayo, maybe Ryan Mountcastle. But assuming they make that move, and let's just say they bring in a Ranger Suarez, would it surprise you if Dean Kramer could get traded at that point?
You know, I hadn't considered until 5 seconds ago when you just said it. It's not outside the realm of possibility. You know, I think teams recognize the value that Dean Kramer brings. And, you know, like he's a, you know, maybe he's not the flashiest pitcher of all time, right? But it definitely is a stable number four or number five in your rotation. And he eats innings, and a lot of teams could be interested in that. He's arbitration eligible, so he's still cost controlled. Absolutely. I mean, the danger there, just like it was, you know, somewhat dangerous trading Grayson Rodriguez, is if you trade from your depth, you better go out and get another depth starter. Dean Kramer has proven, I think part of the trade with Grayson, while you got rid of 4 years of team control for Taylor Ward, it was hard to know exactly health-wise what he would look like and when. Dean Kramer, you know, he has looked pretty, you know, kind of what you're getting with Dean Kramer. You know, about a 4-some ERA, 160-plus innings. And you feel pretty good about that. So that'd be a tough sell. But again, if you're going to say, if you're going to get a high-level piece, like a, you know, make up a name, you know, Freddie Peralta, right? The Brewers might be interested in a cost-controlled guy like Dean Kramer, especially with what he's shown already. But that would be a tough pill to swallow. They have more surplus in position players at this exact point, especially at first base. But again, I mean, it's prices are high, you know, be it on the trade market or free agent market. So you're going to have to part with pieces you like if you are trading for people. We saw, like, did Baltimore want to trade Slater to Brown? Probably not, right? But if you're going to land Shane Baz, that's kind of the cost of doing business.
Well, sort of along those lines, I've been thinking, because we knew we were going to have you on, and Bone brought up, you know, major league option Dean Kramer to trade. I've been thinking more about people like Calzer and Wells. You know, Calzer, do you need him batting eighth, like, for power, right? Because from a hitting profile, it's power. It's not on base. It's not average. It's a lot of K. It's unknown defense at center field every single day. And I don't think he's batting high in this lineup. He'd bat higher in somebody else's lineup. He might feature more prominently in somebody else's lineup. And you add Ward, you add Alonso. We think Gunner's, you know, power funk from last year is going to be at least somewhat behind him. Adley's got to hit more extra base hits next year. Then, so I wonder if he's more expendable. And then you brought up Grayson. For me, I wonder if they trade Wells, because look, we haven't figured him out yet. We might never figure him out. He's still youngish. He's definitely cheap. He could close for somebody. He could be a middle of the rotation starter for somebody. Like if it's Freddie Peralta, I could see a team like Milwaukee being interested in an arm like Wells and somebody like Kelsey.
Yeah, I do. I definitely see, you know, Tyler Wells probably of the starters on this on the team right now. I imagine he would generate trade interest because, as you said, I mean, big arm, right?
Yep.
Possibly, you know, could do a swingman role, a closer role. He could start. You know, there's a lot of different opportunities for Tyler Wells. I think Cade Povich too.
Yes.
Young,
yes.
Controllable lefty. I mean, yep. I realize that he's had some brilliant moments in the majors so far. He's had some poor moments in the majors. That's a classic, you know, yes. Young starting pitcher who hasn't done that. But the fact that he's a lefty increases his value, and obviously the amount of team control. There's teams out there that will be looking at Cade Povich as an option. A name that really is. You know, has popped up a couple of times earlier this offseason. I haven't really checked it in the last month on this particular one, but Dylan Beavers is definitely.
I don't like that one, Andy. Let's not do that.
Well, I acknowledge that, but you know, just from a point of what teams like.
Yeah.
Dylan Beavers is a name that they're like, wow, we could get a guy for six seasons or five seasons, whatever it would be. And he can play a pretty good corner outfield, and his bat seems like it transitions really well to major leagues, both from a on-base percentage and a flash of power every now and then. So that's something, you know, something to consider. But teams will ask high, right? If you're in a trade conversation, you may as well as a buy or as a selling team, you may as well ask for the world. Sure. And see what you can, you know, what you get talked down into. Towser is a I would push back slightly on a characterization. I completely agree with you that last year it was definitely more of a power oriented player. I do think when Towser is at his best, though, that's not him. And I do think the addition of Taylor Ward takes pressure off of, and the addition of Pete Alonso, yeah, takes pressure off of Gunnar and Adley and Kowser, saying, hey, they don't have to hit 30 homers. I mean, if they do, that's great, right? Like, sure, that'd be awesome. But that doesn't have to be. Gunnar can hit 45 doubles and you're like, oh, awesome. You know, yeah, you know, you don't have to necessarily just hit homers. And I think when I think of Kowser, and I look back at him at Sam Houston State and him in the minors, I think he kind of morphed more into this full side power guy last year. I really do think that when he's going at his best, it's opposite field contact oriented. So with just that in mind, I think him in the eighth spot, if he gets back to more of a contact oppo, you know, with some speed on the base pass, that's fine. Again, it's a big question mark, as you said, and with defense in center field. I mean, do you trust him 100, you know, 30 games in center with maybe Leody Taveras as a backup, or they go out and get somebody else as a backup center fielder? I don't know yet. That's a big question mark, both sides of the game for him. But I don't know necessarily if I am as willing to pass on him. He's so young. He is. We've seen what he can do, you know, in certain situations when he focuses on opposite field contact. I'd like to see what that looks like. Do I necessarily trust the defense for everyday center field, Cedric Mullins level? Probably not, right? But yeah, he's at this point probably league average in center, so he's probably not costing you too many games. It's just there's probably not the high level center defense that you've gotten used to.
Talking with Andy Koskis, Inside Access here on the Fan. Let's close with this. You mentioned they need to add to the bullpen. Does a reunion with Danny Coulomb make sense to you?
Oh, a lot of sense. It makes so much sense. Most likely 1-year deal. Probably could do it for $5 million. Doesn't break the bank. You know, you need a lefty ideally. They've kind of added, you know, with Kittredge and Helsley, you like what you're doing with the righties in the bullpen. But right now there's a little bit of a gap with a high leverage lefty. So I definitely like the idea of a Danny Coulomb. Clubhouse guy, he's loved there. So you have that major advantage as well. He's walking into a group that he already has a good rapport with. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We'll see if it happens.
Andy Koska covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. Always great, Andy. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Coming up next, by the way, we got TMI coming up at 3:30. But next, hey, we talk about the three teams that most Baltimoreans love in this town. Well, the Orioles were disappointing. The Ravens were disappointing. Well, we got Maryland basketball. And they're coming off another ugly game against
Buzz is flexing.
Oregon.
Flexing in the locker room.
Yeah, but the coach is in great shape. We'll talk Terps next here on The Fan. Maryland played Oregon Friday night, an ugly 64-54 loss. Oregon's best player was scratched a little before tip-off. After the game, Buzz Williams talks about the offensive woes in the loss.
We'll always give credit to coach and his staff and their team. Nothing that we were trying to do was easy. I thought a lot of the things that we were trying to accomplish offensively, I would judge them as the right things to do. We didn't shoot the percentage that we need to shoot, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it was what I would call a red light shot. I thought we shot a lot of green light shots. We just didn't make them. But I thought the momentum of some of the things that we're trying to accomplish, I understand the results and how we'll be judged. But I thought within the process, our staff was really good. I thought our preparation was as good as it has been all year long. I thought our guys understood what was required. I thought their spirits were excellent.
So let me be clear. They were 18 of 65 from the field in this game. That's from the field. That's 28%.
Didn't they miss like 28 three-pointers?
7 of 35, yes.
18. I don't know what he – look, and I've backed the guy. I think he's been very candid and open about some of their deficiencies and struggles. But if he's telling me that's what their offense is supposed to look like, then I'm saying you're not running an offense, bro. That was as hard of a watch as I've seen in big time college basketball in a long time. They're going to live and die with their guards. I mean, their guards were just chucking the ball up.
Mm-hmm. It was ugly. Like that first half, they were trailing 34-27, and it really wasn't even that close. They shot 9 of 33. At half, they had four.
I mean, come on,
they had 4 points in the paint at half.
Yeah.
And Saunders hit the three to tie the game at 43, but they could never get over the hump. Like anytime they threatened, Oregon would just pull away. Like Washington had a solid.
Washington
game.
Was at least fired up. Yes, he was engaged.
He brought energy.
He
brought energy to them.
He clearly wanted to be there in front of the 3,500 people or whatever was there.
Absolutely, but. Oregon's not even that good of a team.
They entered
that game with an identical 7-6 record as the Terps. It was just, this is a rough team to watch offensively.
And their guard got scratched. I guess they won't tell you why. It sounds like he's been nursing an ankle for a while. But if they can't beat Oregon at home without their guard, who are they beating in the conference?
I don't think they're beating Indiana tomorrow night.
Yeah. The game was on Peacock.
Yeah.
They flashed that graphic, or maybe it was during the halftime show, that the Terps get their shot blocked by a percentage more than any other Power 4 school. More than any other Power 4 school. They're getting, and Biddle had 5 blocks in that game.
Yeah.
They're having a tough time just getting it up there.
I just Biddle. He's so Big Ten.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, that guy belongs in the Big Ten 8 days a week. Receding hairline and everything. Yeah. Thank God Oregon's in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Oh, and that guy. And he's shooting threes and he's smoking a cig and like he's drinking a Jolt energy drink or whatever. I'm like, yeah, this guy's going to go 20 and 10. And he looks like he should be at the YMCA. Like, good on him. Nah, look, Again, I'll just go back to what I said at the beginning of the year because it's going to be ugly. You know, Adams and Mills and some of these kids, what do they look like in March? Like, do they look like they're running a quasi-functioning offense? Do they look like they understand their strengths and weaknesses? When they're taking the three, is it appropriate for them to be taking the three?
They just don't
It's a freak show.
They don't have any score. Like, if you're late in a game, let's just say they're... 40 seconds left, 30 seconds left, you're down by one. Who are you giving the ball to? Who's taking that shot?
So let me
Whoever feels like it. Yeah. And that's A-OK. That's a green light. That's a green light.
Give it to Diggy.
But even Diggy, it's Diggy's feast or famine. Yeah. He's either dropping 30 or scoring 8.
So
like
let me ask you a big picture question here. Can I interest you in a medical redshirt for Farrell Payne and he comes back next year with the recruiting class and now
is that on the table?
It's being talked
out there
about.
It's
in the Twitterverse. Yes, I've been seeing that in the
He's heard enough that
well, we don't know.
Don't bring him back.
He doesn't talk.
Yeah, don't bring him back and then apply for a medical redshirt. You're not going anywhere this year.
He'd prefer that to Europe or whatever else is out there.
He'd probably get I'm speculating here, but probably get a couple million to come back here. Or like, what's he getting on the open market? By the way, Ben, what do you think?
In today's day and age, he's going to make a hell of a lot more at Maryland than he will in Europe next year by itself.
Yeah.
I was with you guys where I thought it was going to be an ugly year. This is pathetic. Oregon did everything they could to keep Maryland in that game.
Yes.
They were trying to give Maryland a game. As Ken mentioned, Shelstead's out of the game. As soon as he's out, I'm like, I told Jason on WannaBet before I knew he was out, I'm like, I think Maryland has a shot. And it is such a hard watch. And then you hear him patting the coaches on the back. But like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's frustrating. I don't get this anger. And I know it's year one. This is worse than Willard Jeer, Jameer Young's final season.
This is worse than the Fats Russell year.
Yes, with Wahab, when they sold us that offseason. Yeah. This is genuinely a terrible watch. And you mentioned who are they going to beat. I said they'd upset somebody. The Marquette win looks worse and worse by the day. After that win, I'm like, all right, they could beat somebody. No, Marquette is they are pathetic. The Terps are in such a bad spot. And again, it's hard. You get your job late when you did. But I will say this. There are some other coaches and Power 4, Power 5 that got the job late. And the guys at least look – and I love Solomon Washington. I'll be honest. Every time I watch him play – and like he gets Texas up. They need that. They need somebody fired up.
Yeah.
Nobody else has that energy. Nobody else has that energy.
Do you think this pain thing is this poppycock, or you think this could
be
in the works?
I think it's legit.
I'm here for that. Well, this season is...
My only question, if that is the case, and again, they traveled together from A&M to Maryland. If he does get a medical red shirt, could he make more money at a different school? And what would that look like? Because you know what's going on behind closed windows. Again, him and Buzz are very tight, sounds loyal, but money talks, especially in 2025 and 2026 in college basketball.
Well, you've negotiated with the agents before you go through this process with the NCAA, right? I mean, he's got a wink-wink handshake or something?
Jim Smith said on these airways with Vinny and Bob, he's not getting outbid. Those are his
Terps
words.
That has stuck for football. I'll say that right now.
They got another running back today.
Yes, from USC. It seems like they're in a good spot with money. I hope the coaching turns out.
How you feeling about that right now, by the way, Ben?
Football, I got to see what the coordinators look like. Football, I feel pretty good. All the young guys are coming back. You're getting, supposedly, there are people that are going to go to the portal, and Maryland will have some money to spend when big name guys go in. So that's exciting, but when should I be excited? October 1st or October 5th when I see them win in October? Because it's September. If they beat James Franklin, I'm not buying in that. Yeah. I've done it to myself.
Don't buy into September.
No, exactly. Yeah. It would be nice to beat James Franklin in year one of Virginia Tech, though.
Maryland, as Jason mentioned, takes on Indiana tomorrow at home. It's a 6:30 tip, which means pregame coverage starts at 5:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. But coming up next, T-Bone time, TMI, TIM, what you got?
A few weeks back when the Steelers, Pittsburgh was on fire, you got former players coming out, Ben Roethlisberger, it's clean house time, and then he backpedaled that. Yeah, no, I didn't say that, even though he did. James Harrison, Ryan Clark, all of those players. No one, former players have come out against John Harbaugh, but some current players were given the opportunity to defend their head coach, including Ronnie Stanley, the longest tenured Raven who's been here since 2016. We're going to play what they had to say. Is there anything to look into that? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM. The floor is yours.
Well, we opened the show talking about John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta. Are either of them going to be here? One, none, all of them, no change. Well,
Omar Khan's not going to be fired, by the way. So you're not going to get your wish there.
And he got the 3-year contract extension.
He's not going to be fired.
Mike Tomlin's not going to be fired.
Yep. He still might not be back. He still might not be back.
Well, that will be
his own. But Omar's going to be back.
That will be his own volition.
Be conversations. It'll be stuff that happens.
Right. We'll see. Mike Tomlin has won singular one playoff game in four postseasons.
You're still taking your victory lap.
Dude, I'm just like, who survives that? Who survives that in any sport?
He came back from booing Renegade. He's got everything and anything.
In four, I'm not even counting year 19. This is year 19 for him. In four of 18 seasons, he's won singular one playoff game. Who the hell survives that in any sport? It's amazing. But anyway, that's not this TMI. Maybe another day.
Huh.
We're talking about John Harbaugh and his current players, because no former players have come out saying that he should get fired, like Mike Tomlin with Ben Roethlisberger, James Harrison, yeah, Ryan Clark, etc. But following the loss to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers Sunday night, various players were asked about John Harbaugh in 2026 and beyond. Let's start with Lamar Jackson.
You asked me about next year, Jameson. Like, I'm so caught up in what just happened tonight. I can't focus on that right now. I just told you. Like he asked me, are you stunned? I'm stunned right now. I'm still trying to process what's going on.
Hearing those comments live, I was thinking, man, that's kind of interesting, because he had a similar response to when asked about his contract status, uh-huh, with the $74.5 million cap hit, and he was saying, look, man, we just lost. I'm not even worried about my contract or any of that moving forward. But that's the last time we're going to hear from Lamar Jackson for quite some time. So the question needed to be asked. Both of those needed to be asked, because he's not at locker room clean out.
Nope.
OTAs, it's scattered appearances. So it probably would be mandatory minicamp.
And he's holding all the cards with the way the contract's
exactly
started. And honestly, if you think about it, he said you're asking me about next year. But at that point in time, it was probably after midnight on Sunday night. So what he's really asking about is this week, and your season's over.
Yeah.
So he's not really asking about next year. He's asking about the next 72 hours.
That's true. But Lamar didn't even touch the John Harbaugh of it all. But now Ronnie Stanley, longest tenure current Raven. He was drafted back in 2016. So you're talking 10 seasons with John Harbaugh. He was asked about Harbs.
Yeah, I mean, I just let those guys handle those things, you know. You know, my job is to lead my O-line, lead my offense, lead the guys that are in the locker room. You know, that's what I try to keep my focus on, and, you know, try to keep it simple. So, you know, I love Harbs, and, you know, everything he's done for the team, and, you know, whatever they handle, that's their business.
I don't know, man.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement. A longest tenured guy who, and you think of everything that Ronnie Stanley has had to go through, and obviously John Harbaugh has been part of all of that with the injuries and coming back and rotating a tackle. The Stanley one is really interesting, because he's a very measured guy when he talks to the media, and for him to say, "Hey, man, that's above my pay grade," I thought that was interesting.
Oh, it caught my eye. I thought it was a very measured tone that didn't really throw him any bouquets.
No, not at all. And we played Pat Ricard earlier, and he was the guy.
Yes, he was
to
most effusive.
Do we put any stock in Ricard? Was in locker room clear out the next day, clean out. These guys were right after the game. They're still sort of stunned by the game, and like, do we put any stock in that?
Sure, I was going to bring that up. Where there's part of that, and maybe Lamar, because him talking at the podium, he's even quicker after the game as opposed to Stanley, and we're about to hear from Derrick Henry in open locker room, especially with Derrick Henry taking his time. But I think there's some of that, Ken, but I also think it doesn't take much to say, hey, man, I've been with John Harbaugh every single year of my NFL career, talking about Stanley.
Only and, coach
and
I know.
Lamar as well. Only coach that I know, he stood by me with all these injuries. Like, I would like to see John Harbaugh back.
There also, though, to me, is sort of a tacit acknowledgement that this is not impossible. This is in the air, not just here floating
in
radio
question.
Land. It's in their locker room. Because if anyone had asked him that question after the loss to Buffalo last year, as horrible as that was, in a playoff game, I think the response would have been, hey, dude, we've been in the playoffs. At that point, he would have said, what, 8 of my 9 years here, or 7 of my 8 years here, and we've had 10 win seasons all the time, and we just won the division again. Why are you asking me that? Like, I think there would have been, even if it wasn't said that way, there would have been more a different tone to where, to me, these guys in their own way are like, I mean, I don't think they'd be stunned if he's not back.
And now let's end with Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's only been here 2 years, but he's had two pretty prolific seasons beyond age 30 at the running back position.
You know, I love Coach Harbaugh, love this team, love this organization. As far as those decisions, that's out of my pay grade. I don't make those decisions, but I love everybody in this organization, and you know, try our best this year. Just didn't do enough to get it done.
Well, at least he said he loved Harbaugh.
I love Harbaugh. Yeah, like a lot of these guys didn't go.
No, but I.
But he also says he loves everybody too. So I mean,
But I think it's a legit question. Like, is this much ado about nothing? Is there something there? I do find it interesting that those three players, none of them.
Well, look, and we'll get into this on the next hour in more depth. But there have been years before where coordinators have been in the balance before we got the press release about Wink, whatever, agreeing to part way, where you still know that Harbs is going to address everybody after the last game because they've done it or they've announced it, and everybody knows the coaching staff's not going to be back intact, but Harbs and EDC are going to do their regular thing. We have yet to be given any indication
that
Harbs and EDC are going to do their normal thing. So that alone, already, as we head well into late afternoon Tuesday, that ain't like nothing to see here. Your normal wrap up the season.
Well, let me ask you this: as a guy that's former beat guy, former national guy, been to a billion of these press conferences, if the Ravens decide to keep John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, is this press conference going to be Friday at 3, Friday at 4, try to bury it a little?
Yeah, I don't know different people's schedules or when they're already going to do their thing. And I mean, I don't know.
By the way, tentacles of the Harbs and EDC. Todd Monken has received a request to be interviewed for the Browns head coaching job, as according to Ian Rappaport. So his future hangs in the balance here in Baltimore, he's been asked to interview for the Browns head coaching job. Wasn't he a coordinator there at one point? Didn't he?
He's definitely there.
Yeah. Yes. Coming up next, what about the people? Where are they? It's a day later. We still have no decision on what's going on with the Ravens. How are you feeling? What should they do? 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next. While we await word from One Winning Drive on who's back, who's gone, we want to hear what the people think. 410-583-1057. Ravens season is over. Let's go out to the phone lines and start with Trippy. Trippy, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
What's up, Trippy? Trippy, I heard you ran into a buddy of mine in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I did. Damn, I forgot his name, but all I remember him saying something about you. Good dude, man. He said you're a good dude.
Yeah.
But, man, these Ravens, man, I'm just so tired of them. Like, and I'm going to be real with you, right? Like, I'm not even that mad at Luke. Although you got to make that kick, I blame the defense. The same thing we've been talking about all year. And what did I say last week when I called it? I said, everybody keep talking about is Lamar going to play. You know what I'm worried about? The defense.
Yeah.
And what did the defense do? They go down there and poop down their pants like they always do. And here I go, Ravens fans, trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm going to let y'all know right now, right? I'm one of them fans. I'm a big Tom Monken fan.
Yes.
If the Ravens fire Tom Monken and Harbaugh and O ain't gone, yeah, we're going to have some problems.
Oh, I can't imagine that scenario. That would be a doomsday scenario.
Yeah, it would be.
Right. But look, it's the same thing over and over, right? Like, we keep hearing Harbaugh say the same thing over and over. All we heard about was, Luke could do this. Luke could do that. Hey, I got a joke for y'all real quick. This is what I meant to say,
right?
Don't
cuss.
No cussing.
I did a video with Justin Tucker. What he used to always say, hey, Ravens fly. That's what? Fly, right? I bet Eddie, he missed that kick. He probably was saying, hey, Ravens fly. Let's fly to Cancun, because that's where we going at right now. It's just sad, man. I don't know when this thing going to get it done. And another thing, I know a lot of these Lamar haters probably was like, oh, man, here they go. The defense can't hold them up. Let's see what Lamar did. And not once, but twice he went down the field, and the defense cost us the game again, man. I'm sorry, y'all. I've been a Zach Orr believer. He got to go. Yeah. Bateman got to go, especially Marlon Humphrey. Marlon Humphrey sat up here and said, my standard ain't been up to par. I've been telling y'all that 2 years ago, but everybody say, no, Trippy, he's an all-pro. I don't care about turnovers, none of that. When the game counted Sunday, He pooped down his pants. He missed his tag.
There's a lot of pooping.
Like, come on, man. Like, it's sad, man. Like, I'm depressed right now. But like I said, the Ravens always find a way to break out hard. You know what I mean?
Trippy.
It's cool, though.
Hey.
I'll get up with y'all.
We love
Take care,
you,
Trippy. Buddy. Trippy, everyone. How do you respond to all that?
I think it'd be something if Monk became the coach of the Cleveland Browns. That would, A, it would
and
keep
broad
monkey,
Trippy.
Business, monkey business monkey and business. Heavy rotation.
Yeah. Yes.
And we'd have Trippy as our Monk correspondent. Yes. You know Trippy would go, I mean, obviously he'd be there when the Ravens play the Browns, but I could see him showing up to some other random Browns game.
Yep.
Bye week.
Maybe doing a call-in.
Ravens playing
maybe
on Monday.
Maybe do a call-in for game day from wherever the Browns are playing. Do the behind enemy lines with Trippy, sitting there with Monk in the parking lot of whatever they call that stadium now in Cleveland. It'd be good content.
Let's go to Chris in Parkville. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Good, sir.
I've seen this movie before. It's not like it's just happened this past year. Happened the last 2 or 3 years, and they keep kicking the can down the field, so to speak. And it's time for a change. When a good change doesn't happen organically, you got to make it. You got to make that call. I just think it's time to go in a different direction.
No, I appreciate it.
We all agree. But again, as I've said all along, this guy serves at the beck and call of one billionaire, a billionaire who seemed increasingly disengaged, disinterested, and okay with mediocrity. And so I'll believe that's no longer the case when I see him blow his organization up to some degree beyond just, you know, shuffling coordinators. So we'll see. I've always been the one saying, I don't think that Pisciotti's going to do it, even if they miss the playoffs. I think he should fire them both and reboot his entire organization. But he might just keep everybody except for the defensive coordinator. And the offensive coordinator might get a job somewhere else or whatever, and he'll pursue other interests, and maybe he'll be back. Maybe he won't. Lipstick on a pig.
Let's go to Charlie and Dundalk. Charlie, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I believe that John Harbaugh will be back. I think he deserves that, being here all those years. And, at least we're the Ravens. We're not the Browns. And I think Eric Acosta is the one that needs to be looked at because – football hasn't changed. You win in the trenches.
Yes.
And he has done nothing to fix our offense or defensive line to make them better. So it falls on him. He should be on the hot seat. And have a great day.
Hey, appreciate the call.
Hey, I'd be here. They keep Harbs and fire Acosta. I mean, it's not ideally what I think they should do, but I can live with it.
That would be, I think you'd be okay with that.
I still think it'd be half-assing it, but I could live with it.
Joe's in Woodbury.
That would be the correct cheek. If I can only cut one cheek off, I think I would cut that cheek off.
That's the cheek.
Hello, three wise men.
I don't know about that.
I'm just gonna commend Jason. Jason, you talked about what would happen if this kid had to kick in that game situation. You said that back in the beginning of the year. You've been talking about that flawedness for the last 2 to 3 years. And I say, what's the use in going to the party if you can't dance? So if they'd have got in the playoffs, they wouldn't have been able to do anything.
No.
Now, my thing is now what we're locked into the 14th pick. What are we going to do with this damn pick? And as far as what you're saying about Pisciotti, nothing will hurt Pisciotti unless you hit his pocket. Because as long as they keep him making money, he will settle for what he's selling for. So all you people who got PSL, don't buy him. For all you people who have yearly subscriptions, don't get it. Hit him in his pocket, and he will make a change. You guys have a safe and blessed day.
That's all. They respond to financial impetus. That's how they amass so much gratuitous wealth.
And as far as the 14th overall pick, we touched on the open. There's a lot of holes on this football team right now.
I would try to find the best corner in the country.
No, 5'11" or under.
Don't let him be 6 feet.
No.
Get yourself somebody about 5'11", a buck 63, drenched. That's a DaCosta corner. That's a first round corner.
If they get another safety or corner.
Just keep drafting corners.
Yeah.
Do it. And then hurt guys. Then rounds two through four, guys who will be great in 2028.
By the way, we're going to continue riding the phone calls. 410-583-1057. More of your calls as we await word from the castle next here on The Fan.